I'm Pastor Lauer from Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at 8:03 and again on Sunday afternoon about 5:45. Our Savior's is located at 1103 North Broad Street, just across from Franklin Elementary in Mankato. During these days of pandemic precautions, our regular services are suspended, but we invite you to find out more about us at oslcmankato.org. Even so, we're glad to proclaim the good news of God in Jesus Christ, even now and to everyone.
In our first reading this morning, it comes from the book of Acts chapter 2. We see the reaction of people gathered in the temple courts after Peter's first sermon on the day of Pentecost. The text says that his words, by the power of the Holy Spirit, cut them to the heart. In other words, we might say that his sermon hit the nail on the head, or woke them up, or opened their eyes to what the Christian faith is all about. By our sins, Peter said, we killed Jesus. But God raised him from the dead so that we, his enemies, could be saved from death and condemnation. What happens then after that good news has been preached, after we've heard of Christ raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, and all the promises that go with it? Peter preaches that first sermon after our Lord's ascension into heaven, and the first thing that happens when the people get that aha, the very next thing that happens is that they ask the question, so what should we do? Some would say that now, when you've heard this good news from Jesus, you should come down to the altar, fall on your knees, and give your life to Jesus. And that's a great answer, but there's still a bit of trouble with that, because it makes the person take their focus off what Peter just preached. He just preached about Jesus. He's got us thinking, all of us thinking about Jesus. Suffered, died, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven. And then it gets us back to thinking about ourselves, as though God can forgive us only if we now do something special. Lutherans say, no, Jesus is not waiting to forgive you. The Bible is clear. Jesus has already earned your forgiveness. You don't have to do something to get forgiven. Forgiveness is already ours. Jesus did that when he suffered and died upon the cross. You can't make his salvation any better because you let him in or because you ask him into your heart. In fact, if that were the case, then who can ever say they've let Jesus fully into their heart? Don't we hold certain things back? Don't we constantly have things to repent of? Are we going to give our lives to Jesus again and again and again every day? That's a good sentiment there, I understand. But when is it enough? Remember, the question is, now that I've heard about God's salvation in Jesus Christ, how should we live? When the people on the day of Pentecost asked this question of Peter, the first thing he said is, repent. Now, repent is a technical term. Some of you remember me going over it before. It's a very biblical expression. To repent means to turn away from one thing and to turn toward something else. So if you're watching TV and you suddenly realize that your favorite show's been on for 5 minutes, what do? You repent. You get out the clicker, you turn away from what you were watching, and you turn to what you want to watch. So it is for us when God calls us to repent. Every day we are pulled away, pulled by the world this way and that way. And sometimes we realize that we've been forgetting about God's love for us in Jesus. What should you do? Should you say, well, I've already started this thing. I'm going to go ahead and finish it, and I can come back later to the Lord. Or do you say, there's always time to do that? No. When you realize that you've been heading the wrong way or taking the wrong direction, you should repent. Which means, simply, turn away from what you've been doing and turn back to what you should have been doing all along. But wait a minute, Pastor. Doesn't that put the attention back on us? Doesn't that suggest we need to do something in order to be saved by Jesus? No, it doesn't. Jesus has already saved you. That happened on the cross and in the empty tomb. What we're saying is that he deserves our full attention, not this other sinful thing that we've been doing. Here's an example. Suppose you've been driving down the road and you're going down one of the neighborhood blocks and you see somebody's got a yard sale. And you see something that you might be interested in and you keep driving. Well, your head's turning away from the road and you're starting to look at what's going by. What do you need to do? You need to repent. If I'm sitting next to you, I'm going to say, preacher that I am, repent. No, I'm going to say, watch out, look out, stop the car. You're heading for disaster. You're going to hit that parked car there on the side of the road. So it is when God calls us to repent. He's saying, hey, watch out. Look where you're going. You are headed for disaster. Consequently, if we pay attention to God's call, put our focus back where it belongs, well, then who gets the credit for saving us? Well, I was driving, so I steered clear. That's only because somebody called out for you to repent, to get back to what you should have been doing all along. The truth is, every one of us is distracted regularly, daily, by the temptation to sin, by the allure of the world, by clever arguments, and by our own ideas. You can make a very long list of things that grab our attention away from what Christ tells us. So when Peter's sermon hit the nail on the head, so to speak, when it caught the people's attention, they said, what should we do? Peter answered, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. We could paraphrase that. Turn away from the disaster you're headed to. Turn back to God's salvation, which has already been given to you. And baptism is that point where we can say, there, Jesus earned my forgiveness 2,000 years ago with the cross and the empty tomb. He delivered that forgiveness to me in my baptism. We don't focus just on what God has done in the past, but what he's doing with us, for us, right now, in our lives. A bit farther down in the sermon, the book of Acts tells us that Peter also bore witness and continued to exhort the people. By bearing witness, what that simply means is he keeps the people focused upon Jesus. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Look what he did. Listen to what he said. Peter was there when Christ was arrested and tried and crucified. And Peter was also a witness of the resurrected Jesus in the empty tomb. The apostle never talked about himself or about what they're doing. The apostles talk about Jesus and of what our Lord Jesus has done. So with this background in mind, it makes more sense when we get down to the end of this reading, when Peter tells the people, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Now some people have said, now wait a minute, Pastor, it says right there, save yourselves. So clearly there must be something that we need to do in order to be saved. But to believe that we have to discount the other, but to believe that, we'd have to discount everything else that Peter's just said. What does Peter mean by saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation? In short, he's telling us, you know the truth about sin and about forgiveness. You know about what we have done to get ourselves into this mess. You know about what God has done through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can't now pretend we never heard it. It ought to make a difference in your life. Go back to the example of the driver going down a city street and he sees a yard sale, okay? He's got his attention distracted into the yard sale. He's headed towards the rear end of a parked car. How embarrassing that would be. And you're sitting next to them and you say, repent! Look out! Does the mere fact that you've told them that they're about to crash do them any good? No, they need to respond. They need to turn back to the way they're supposed to be going. Turn away from that disaster that's about to occur. Stop watching the yard sale. Start watching the road. So when we say that Jesus saves us and that we can't do anything to help ourselves, that doesn't mean we check our brains at the door, now go do whatever we want. God has given us eyes and ears and a brain, and we should use them. So if you know that certain things are going to lead you into temptation, and here it becomes very personal, because there are some things that tempt you that don't tempt me, and there are some things that tempt me that may not bother you. But if you know that there are certain things, and there's also some things that tempt all of us, turn away from them and return your attention to Christ, and then stay away from those things. Don't look at the pornography, because it's only going to lead to disaster. I don't know everybody who said, you know, I found this thing on the internet and it's changed my life for the better. Do you know anybody who talks that way? I've never heard it, maybe because I'm a preacher. Don't go there. Nothing good comes from it. Stay faithful to your spouse, because no, the grass is not greener over there. Go to church, where you meet your Christian family and friends, where you hear again about God's love, and where he gives you his forgiveness. Eat his body, drink his blood as he commands, where he fills you with his life and his love and his strength for living. Don't try to take on the world by yourself. Stay close to other Christians. Many of them have been where you are now. Many of them have done what you are now doing. You're not the first Christian to be sick or to face death or suffer some injustice. Others have buried a loved one. Others have lost a child. Others have been bruised and beaten emotionally and physically. And they have kept the faith. Come close to them. Learn from them. You're not the first one to fall in love, to get married, have kids, or grow old. Others have been there and done that. Many of the people around you have already experienced the things that are challenging you. And they also probably relied on someone else who had done it before them. It's like the old saying, or what alcoholics know. The only one who can really understand and help an alcoholic is another alcoholic. Because they know what you're going through. They've been there. And they probably still struggle just like you do. So it is for the children of God. There's nothing new going on for any of us that hasn't already gone on for Christians throughout the ages. But many have gotten through it and kept the faith. Usually because the good Lord promises to keep them in the faith. But you need to hear that and take it to heart. Remember, it was Peter who denied Jesus 3 times during the night when he was betrayed. Who better to tell us that Jesus is willing and able and more than ready to forgive than one who has already been forgiven? It is good and right that we should remind each other to stay close to Jesus, to keep our eyes and ears on him. It's good that we should watch out for one another and keep each other from running into disaster. If you see me headed for a fall, tell me. As Peter said in his first sermon, I say to you today, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And by that, I don't mean that you don't need Jesus to save you. You do. But I mean, use the head that God gave you. Hang on to Jesus. In his most precious name, amen.
If you'd like to know more about our Saviors in Mankato, you can find us on the web at www.oslcmankato.org.